You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March 21st, 2022, Ukraine leader Zelensky says we will not surrender. They're rejecting a Russian demand that they lay down arms and raise white flags in the port city of Mariupol in exchange for safe passage out of that port city. In the meantime, there are reports that bombs, artillery shells, are hitting Mariupol every 10 minutes of bombardment. Ukrainian President Zelensky also said that Israel is now spearheading many efforts to hold talks between his country and Russia. And he suggested Jerusalem might host a peace summit. Well, now comes word out of Israel. Prime Minister Bennett might go to Kyiv. His security forces working on how we could get him safely in and out of the country. There would have to be a ceasefire during that time if he's in the capital. We now have information we did not have. Two Iranian drones shot down over Iraq last month by U.S. fighter jets were bound for targets in Israel. That happened the middle of last month. There was a gag order at that time, because Israeli security forces and U.S. forces were fearful if we pointed out that we knocked those down, it might cause additional retaliation. It might still. The U.S. Indo-Pacific commander of our Navy says tells the Associated Press that China has now fully militarized three artificial islands built in the territory of the Philippines. He's calling it the largest military buildup since World War II. And, of course, at this time, we're hoping China will help us stop Russia. Friend or enemy? Or both? The U.S. Senate now moving forward with the nomination of Judge Kenji Brown Jackson. Republicans and Democrats are not going to question Jackson today. She would be the first ever black woman on the Supreme Court. But already the Republicans are laying their groundwork and making claims against her on rulings she's made. And in particular, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri pointing out that she's been extremely lenient upon child molesters, child predators. Senator Dick Durbin says that's a lie. And we have sources to say otherwise. But wait until you hear a little bit later in this hour the sources Durbin is quoting. And you tell me where the lie is. Supreme Court Justice Thomas, by the way, has been hospitalized with an infection. 73 years of age. Flu-like symptoms. Apparently doing well. Improving. Now when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was ill numerous times, you heard me say on this program, I wish her the best of health. Even though it would give Trump a chance to appoint another Supreme Court justice, I not once said bad things about her health. I hope, I pray Democrats have the same attitude about Justice Thomas, as opposed to looking at it as, boy, if he would die, then we'd get another opportunity to nominate another Supreme Court justice. That's if they hold the Senate in 2022 election coming up. It is important. It is that important. So with the gas prices going up and the Fed raising the interest rates for the first time in 3 years and projecting six more hikes because of inflation, what can you do to save money? Bloomberg News came out with some articles to deal with the gas prices. They say, consider public transportation. Yeah. or bicycle if you can. Yeah. And when it comes to food, quit eating meat, things like that. Eat corn and barley, stuff like that. In other words, less meat, less cows, less methane gas for the. It's all part of the green pie in the sky, climate change. Oh, and they also have this suggestion. If your pet is sick and dying, don't pay for expensive medical treatments for your pet. Just let your pet die. Now, how does that sit with Democrats that are all built into green plans ahead? You want your pet to die? For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think we just have a basic question to ask. Are we going to get a judge here who's going to protect children or who's going to protect child predators? It's a simple question. It's one I think that every parent in America would like answered, but it's one that the White House doesn't want to answer. And so far, Judge Jackson doesn't want to answer it. Total radio silence from her.
Total radio silence from Judge Jackson. Of course, she has not yet been questioned by members of the U.S. Senate as the Senate prepares to go through her nomination process. She's appeared before the Senate today, and the process is starting. But Josh Hawley had tweeted out recently that there are numerous cases that she's been involved in where she's been extremely lenient on child molesters, child predators. He said, beginning with a paper that she authored while a student at Harvard Law School, and that she seems to, he says, according to her record, demonstrate an attempt to normalize a radical sexual ideology of adults being attracted to minors, categorizing it as not flatly criminal, but simply misunderstood. Simply misunderstood. Decades ago, I did a special that at that time was a groundbreaker for any local TV. It dealt with what we labeled the last taboo, incest. And it dealt, of course, with sex between parents and their own children or other relatives. And part of it involved an interview with NAMBA, the North American Men Boys Association. So I flew to California to interview the head of the organization. And surrounded by other NAMBA members, I began the questioning. I don't know if they thought by having many in the audience it would make me back down, but I didn't. But I was still treating it as a fair, balanced story. I had my opinions, obviously. But it came down to the fact that they were of the belief that a man, a full-grown man, can help teach a child as young as 2 or even 3 to learn about sex, physically teach them. So when Senator Hawley points out some of the rulings so far involving Judge Jackson, there should be concern. He said one case involving a sex offender over the age of 18 caught with multiple images of child pornography. The sentencing guidelines call for a sentence of up to 10 years. This sex offender is again over the age of 18. Multiple images of child pornography. Judge Jackson, serving as a judge at that time, sentenced him to just 3 months. 3 months. So Hawley is raising legitimate questions. But if you listen to the liberal left, as you're going to hear both from Senator Durbin and others in a little bit, but here's a perfect example. Ellie Mestal, who is a MSNBC contributor, strong liberal, obviously, he says the very fact that Hawley is raising these questions, Mestal is of the opinion that this means Hawley wants somebody to kill Judge Jackson.
What Josh Hawley is doing, let's be very clear. What Josh Hawley is doing when he tries to do this is he's trying to get her killed. He is trying to get violence done against a Supreme Court nominee.
No, he's just simply putting on the record, her record, Senator Josh Hawley.
If you look at her record, what you see is this is someone who has consistently let sex predators, child sex predators, off the hook. For people who have been convicted of child porn offenses, she's consistently given them lenient sentences, slaps on the wrist. This is someone who has raised the question whether sex offender registries are unconstitutional, whether notifying parents when there's a sex offender in the area is unconstitutional. She suggested all of that. I mean, this is very troubling. We need to get the answers.
We do need the answers. Let me give you some of the additional cases that have been apparently documented. Keep in mind, Judge Jackson has been nominated by Biden to now serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. When she was serving as a judge on the federal bench, she also had another case where a criminal had distributed more than 100 child pornography videos, including pictures of his own 10-year-old daughter, his own child. The guidelines for sentencing at that point recommended 97 to 121 months in prison. Judge Jackson gave him 71 months. 71 months, less than the minimum of 97 to 121 for sending out pornography, more than 100 images of children, including his own child. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, leading Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, saying it's not wrong to raise questions about some of these prior rulings. It's logical to understand her thought process and what she was doing. The White House has attempted to dismiss all of these concerns as, quote, cherry-picked elements of her record out of context. You don't cherry-pick something out like that. It's there. Now, again, Senator Grassley said, we're going to have a fair and thorough hearing. We won't get in the gutter like the Democrats did. And, of course, that's a reference to the accusation Democrats threw at Justice Brett Kavanaugh and personal attacks also aimed at Justice Amy Coney Barrett because she adopted two black children. Democrats, some of them already are claiming that Hawley's critique of Jackson's judicial record rises to the same level of, quote, entertaining completely unverified gain rape allegations against the Supreme Court nominee. And, of course, again, That's reference to the allegations that were made against Brett Kavanaugh, which were never proven. Well, Ellie Mistall says, despite Senator Hawley and others looking at these cherry-picked rulings of sentencing and light slap on the wrist against child predators, she will be confirmed.
She is going to be confirmed, and she is going to be well-liked while she's confirmed, and she's not going against her is kind of a waste of their time. But I don't want to let the Josh Hawley thing lie, because here's where I need the Democrats to step up. Because when they try to smear her, I need the Democrats to get up there and defend her just as vociferously as Lindsey Graham defended alleged attempted rapist Brett Kavanaugh.
Just stop it right there. Did you hear what he just said? He said again, Mistall from MSNBC, saying we need Democrats to defend Justice Jackson just as much as Lindsey Graham defended alleged attempted rapist Brett Kavanaugh. Now, he put in the words alleged and then attempted rapist. But there was never any basis for that. There was no factual record of any such thing that would have proven any of that. But they can still go ahead and throw it around and use it, as they will with January 6th, to always say Republicans are looking to kill Democrats who disagree with them. And it's in his mind, Mistall is covering his tracks. I know what he's doing. It's in his mind that Kavanaugh should not have been on the bench because he probably was guilty of those things. They just couldn't prove it. Well, the proof for Judge Jackson is right in front of you when you look at the record, various court records, and the sentence she gave. But again, let's let Mistall complain more and complete his sentence.
When they try to smear her, I need the Democrats to get up there and defend her just as vociferously as Lindsey Graham defended alleged attempted rapist Brett Kavanaugh. Like, I need that level of energy from the Democrats, especially when they come at her with this trumped up alleged issues about her sentencing on for sex offenders. Because what Josh Hawley is doing, let's be very clear. What Josh Hawley is doing when he tries to do this is he's trying to get her killed. He is trying to get violence done against a Supreme Court nominee.
So there's Mistall saying that Hawley is making things up, and yet he can say that by presenting her record that Hawley is trying to get her killed, and that's supposed to be a fact? I was working today on getting Rachel Bovard, the Federalist, the columnist, on the program today about a piece she wrote in advance of the hearings underway. But she's busy covering the hearings, which I certainly understand. But she said in her piece, yes, the Senate should investigate Kente Brown Jackson's leniency toward sexual predators. She points out that Hawley's assessment of Judge Jackson is not personal nor disrespectful. It is not attacking her adopted children or interrogating the nominee's virginity. And she points out, yes, Democrats and their media allies did that to Brett Kavanaugh. She said it is squarely in the lane of jurisprudential analysis. And she adds, far from being outrageous, it is quite literally the job of U.S. senators who are constitutionally tasked with the role of advice and consent. It's exactly what they should be doing, scrutinizing the record judicial philosophy of nominees to every court, especially the Supreme Court. And she added in her column, for Republicans to assume they can take it easy on this nominee because they assume the confirmation is inevitable, she says those Republicans are concerned about optics, or because her confirmation to replace outgoing liberal Justice Breyer will not at this moment change the ideological makeup of the court. That's true, it won't. Breyer was liberal. Jackson is liberal. It'll still be a 6-3 court. But she's saying it's fundamentally wrong to simply accept it, saying that advice and consent does not mean, well, not this time, or she's going to be confirmed anyway. It means what it says. And Jackson, being 51 years of age, could be on the court for decades to come. And so far, the Biden administration and backers have offered no defense of her record. None. Other than to say they're just cherry-picked. They are not cherry-picked. They're not taken out of context. In fact, Rachel Bovard points out in her Federalist article, they are a pattern. So, yes, we need some answers. But before you get a chance to question her, and they're not going to do so today, before they start doing that, here comes Senator Durbin of Illinois, bringing in his Democrat cavalry, saying Hawley has no credibility. You should not be listening to what Hawley says. But when you hear who Durbin cites as his basis for his credibility, try not to laugh too loud. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think we just have a basic question to ask. Are we going to get a judge here who's going to protect children or who's going to protect child predators? It's a simple question. It's one I think that every parent in America would like answered, but it's one that the White House doesn't want to answer. And so far, Judge Jackson doesn't want to answer it. Total radio silence from her.
That is Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri talking about Judge Jackson, who's up for Supreme Court, Biden's nominee. She will not be questioned directly today, but Hawley's already raised the fact that in her past ruling, she has often eliminated existing mandatory minimum sentences for child porn and willing to accept it and just not do much about it. The White House is always cherry-picking, taking records out of context. Well, Dick Durbin, Senator of Illinois, he's quick to jump on that same train.
As far as Senator Hawley is concerned, here's the bottom line. He's wrong. He's inaccurate and unfair in his analysis. Judge Jackson has been scrutinized more than any person I can think of. This is her fourth time before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and three previous times she came through with flying colors and bipartisan support, the last time as soon as just last year. And now Senator Hawley is making these charges that came out of nowhere. The independent fact checkers like the Washington Post and CNN have discredited his claims already. They should have. There's no truth to what he says. And he's part of a fringe within the Republican Party. This was the man who was fist bumping the murderous mob that descended on the Capitol on January 6th of last year. He doesn't have the credibility he thinks he does.
You know, there was Senator Durbin, and you want to question credibility. The murderous mob? The murderous mob? How many of the mob were murdered? How many of those who mobbed the Capitol murdered anybody? How many? How many were murdered? And then he has the audacity to say, listen, fact checkers for the Washington Post, CNN, have already discredited his claim. Oh, that's worth hearing again. Let's do that.
The Washington Post and CNN have discredited his claims already. They should have. There's no truth to what he says. And he's part of a fringe within the Republican Party. This was the man who was fist bumping the murderous mob that descended on the Capitol on January 6th of last year. He doesn't have the credibility he thinks he does.
But you think CNN, fact checkers, and the Washington Post do have credibility? CNN, Washington Post, New York Times all denied the Hunter Biden laptop existed, and it was true, remember? They were all saying it was false Russian propaganda. And, in fact, we had 50 former national intel folks say the same thing. And then the New York Times last week said, no, the laptop does exist. It's his, and it is true. The New York Times finally admitting it was true. Well, I'm sure this credible news organizations like CNN and the others would race forward and offer their corrections at least, or at least state the latest news. No. They did not do that. CNN nor any other major networks spend any time on it. And in fact, Brian Stelter on Sunday, on his reliable sources, where he's supposed to be the ombudsman for you to make sure CNN does a good job, you know how much time he gave the story of the New York Times admitting the laptop from hell was accurate? You want to guess how much time Brian Stelter gave that story? How about zero? Durbin's quoting CNN as a reliable source. Give me a break. Coming up, more complaints about transgenders destroying women's sports. But before then, we're going to be joined by Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood on Ukraine, Russia, and how do we bring an end to this, and how soon? Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water that you won't let Jimmy start. Big boy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When it comes to understanding what's happening with Russia and Ukraine and battlefield tactics, I have a source I really like to rely on with the Heritage Foundation. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, 20 years in the U.S. Marines, Semper Fi, and has done numerous challenges presented at higher levels as well. And glad to have you back on board, sir. Welcome.
Blessing to be with you. Thanks.
We're looking earlier at some remarks by General King talking about that what we're seeing right now, the Ukrainians are doing a very good job of cutting off supply logistics to Russians already inside Ukraine, and that might be why we're not seeing any more action movement toward Kyiv and aiming targets elsewhere. Your thought?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, the deeper you get into enemy territory, the longer your lines of supply become. Those are inherent vulnerabilities if you don't also have forces to protect those. So, you know, it's a risk of war, and you have to carefully account for that. And if you think from a U.S. perspective, if we had to do something in the Western Pacific, you know, vis-a-vis China or deploy forces into Europe, you know, to assist in the battle, it's just something that we have to keep in mind in terms of the size of our force. But there are also tactical competencies. So what does this say about the frontline, you know, small unit level leadership that Russia is putting in with their forces into Ukraine? And the number of general officers that have been killed implies that these very senior leaders feel that they need to be on the ground close to the front. So do they not trust their people? Are their people not competent? You know, whatever those reasons are, we'll find out that stuff, you know, months or years later. But right now, these appear to be significant vulnerabilities in the Russian military. And it also says that if they've been reporting up the chain, you know, to Vladimir Putin and the chiefs of staff, et cetera, hey, we're good to go. We've had all these great exercises, modernized Russian military, we should be feared, then it was a pack of lies. And we're seeing the results of that lack of frank and blunt assessments on the ground. And again, another lesson to the United States, Germany, France and Poland and everybody else. You know, one thing to have exercises, it's another thing to be brutally honest in your assessment of what you can do.
Now, your point being that, and of course, they've taken, Ukrainians have said, we're targeting the leaders on the field.
Yeah.
There are, and I'm wondering, and when you made that statement, I hearken back to the movie you might have seen as well, The Enemy at the Gates, where as the Russians were fighting Germany, they didn't have but maybe one weapon per man, bolt action at that, and their generals were ordering them to advance without weapons, and they're being slaughtered. If they turned to go back, their own generals would shoot and kill them. Do you think some of that has been happening inside Ukraine because these conscripts don't really want to be there and they're looking for a way out?
Yeah, I do. I think that's very much part of it. You know, this is not a war of Russia against Ukraine. This is Vladimir Putin. So he decided to do this. And if you were either a conscript or even professional, you know, full-time military in the Russian army, why are you here? You know, why are you shooting at your cousins? You know, there was no hint of news of Ukraine getting ready to invade Russia. This is all kind of spur of the moment, you know, built up over months, right?
But right.
No plausible rationale for invading this country. So troop morale, a will to fight, a purpose, they're not defending their homeland. You know, there are none of those things at play here. So, you know, lack of a grip. Initiative by small unit leaders and the individual troops is likely not there. There could be a fear that's driving them forward, but that's not a motivator anyway.
You know, no, not at all.
So not to take anything away from the Ukrainian defenders. Right?
No, I don't want to do that.
Incredible at what they're doing with the resources they have, able to attack.
Did I hear the other day, your signal comes and goes for a moment, but did I hear the other day that, I don't know if it had been verified, that Putin had one of his own generals restrained or detained or placed in custody? Dakota, are you still there? Can you hear me, sir? All right, let's try to reestablish when we still got some time here. That's a question I want to get to him again and see if we can verify that or if he's heard anything, because there was a word that came out the other day over the weekend that, in fact, Putin had, and it was very unclear if he had detained one of his own generals or had simply decided to hold him for some reason, as if he were fearing some overthrow inside his own circle or if there were other efforts and concerns he had. And the other issue, of course, is this hypersonic missile that they fired the other day. The hypersonic missile that they used to hit a target was not really needed. So with the Russians using this hypersonic missile just to prove that they have it, we knew they had it. We knew they had at least two of them. So what would be the purpose of using it in this case? Well, would it be just to drive home the possibility that we have a long-range reach or that we can get to and through some of your defenses? So that kind of thing is another question that begs to be answered. We have Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood back on the line now. Is that correct? We have Lieutenant Colonel Wood back on the line. Okay, got you back online, sir. Sorry we lost you.
Yeah. It was really broken up and then dropped. We should blame the Russians.
Right. Yeah, that's Russian collusion. Hey, I was asking about this hypersonic missile that was fired by the Russians the other day. What was the point of that? I mean, if I understand, they only had two. And was it just to prove we had this thing?
Yeah.
It wasn't needed, was it?
No, multiple levels. You test new a pristine environment, but the real test is if you can use it in a combat situation and have it perform as you want. So it was for Russia to test a new missile, if in fact this is what they did, to see how it actually works. It also is a signal to NATO and to the West that since this is a nuclear capable missile, as reported by the Russians, it's also that nuclear, saber rattling sort of thing. You know, it's an applied threat that we have this, it works, and you need to be careful with it. So multiple levels, but they didn't need it to accomplish the attack. They're doing this for testing, verification of their investments and equipment modernization, and then also to send a signal to
and maybe a scare tactic. It appears that Mariupol might be the first Ukrainian city to fall, and that would open up the bridge to Crimea from Russia. Mm-hmm. Would that satisfy Putin if that happens? Would that be his off ramp to say we've accomplished what we wanted for right now?
And so on the potential fall, the last Western journalists have evacuated Mariupol. So when things get that bad, you know, it's dire circumstances. People trying to evacuate are being snatched up by the Russians and put in essentially prisons and concentration camps in Russia. So it's very, very bad. In terms of is it satisfying Putin? Absolutely not. He is all in, wants to claim all of Ukraine, and just being, you know, the southern part, occupying the Black Sea coastline. You'll continue to see them expand westward to Odessa to try to grab that as well. But I think he wants Kyiv, and I think he wants the abject submission of the Ukrainian government so that he can install a Russian stooge.
Since you mentioned Kyiv, the Israeli Prime Minister Bennett is saying he might be willing to go to Kyiv for some peace talks. Zelensky wants him involved, but says we thought we'd go to Israel. Do you think he will do that? Biden is due in Poland this week, but not going to go in Ukraine, obviously. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's too risky for a U.S. president, whoever that might be, to go into a war zone. So he'll stop short in Poland. I think he'll have zero effect on any decision-making by Vladimir Putin. The peace talks, the off-ramps, aren't going to go anywhere either. It's buying for time. It's kind of keeping that, you know, little fire with embers glowing, but there's no effect on Putin's decision making. He wants all of Ukraine, and since he's hazarded the entire Russian economy, Russia will be a pariah state for 20 or 30 years, or take him at least that long to rebuild the economic damage and to rebuild their military, right? So they've committed over half their military as it is.
And ironically,
that's getting whacked pretty good.
And ironically,
I don't think there are any peace off-ramps.
Yeah, and ironically, in the last 30 seconds, that means they're going to be more dependent upon China than they would prefer. I think we lost the signal again at that point, but that's Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, the Heritage Foundation. His opinion, I highly value, and he said, I don't think any of these talks are going to do anything, that Putin is not going to stop until he has it all. And, of course, warring on civilians right now, as he's doing, that's just causing more dismay and heartbreak and innocent casualties, but apparently he's beyond caring. Coming up back in this side of the Atlantic, we have the issue with the transgenders competing. Stand by. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com. Rottler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I should have said a moment ago as we were wrapping up, saying back on this side of the Atlantic, I should have said also Pacific, since we were talking about Russia in particular, but I think you knew what I meant. So here we are back in the States, focusing on college sports and the NCAA for allowing a transgender swimmer, born male, to dominate women's college swimming this season. If you're looking to place blame, you can look to the NCAA, but you also need to start with Biden's day one moves. He issued an executive order entitled executive order on preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. And he said it's meant to prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender identity. Look, I have my views personally on some things and some biblical views as well along this line, but I am still for everyone being treated equally. But the problem is when you are reclassifying that you are now a gender and you can compete and destroy the work everyone has done in the gender you're assuming, there's no fairness, there's no equality there. In fact, a women's sports group that's working to preserve biologically based eligibility told the New York Post Saturday, saying, "We think everyone should play sports fairly." It's a group called Save Women Sports. They say it's a coalition that seeks to preserve biologically based eligibility standards for participating in female sports, saying it's not an anti-Leah Thomas campaign, it's a pro-woman campaign. You know what all this has done? It has destroyed the, quote, woman's movement. This is nowhere near where Gloria Steinem and the rest of them were pushing when they were pushing for women's rights far and above what many thought was should be allowed at that time. All of that aside, this basically says a woman is just not of great value compared to a transgender. That's the impression I get. Let me read you a letter written by a Virginia Tech swimmer. An open letter she wrote to the NCAA of being, quote, disrespectful against biologically female swimmers because they allowed transgender UPenn swimmer Leah Thomas to compete. She said, "I'm writing this letter in hopes the NCAA will open its eyes and change the rules in the future. It does not promote our sport in a good way. It's disrespectful against biologically female swimmers who are competing." And she goes on to say she's from Hungary originally, a 2016 Rio Olympian, represented Virginia Tech for the past 5 years, two-time ACC champion, two-time All-American, three-time honorable mention All-American. And she said, when it comes to Leah Thomas, she noted, "I stand and respect Leah Thomas, that Thomas is just like any other swimmer." She didn't distinguish male or female, just saying like any other swimmer who trains and sacrifices for training. "But on the other hand, I want to criticize the NCAA rules that allow Leah Thomas to compete against us who are biologically women." Point being made that she said, "In my senior year, I'm a fifth-year senior. I've been top 16, top 8 before. I know how much of a privilege it is to make the finals at a big meet. This was my last college meet ever, and I feel the final spot was taken away from me because the NCAA allowed Leah Thomas to participate." The letter writer got cut by one spot because Thomas was in the swim as well. And again, she said, it's not even Leah Thomas's fault, but the result of the NCAA and the lack of protecting athletes. She said, it's taking away everything we're achieving. Which brings me to Kelly J. Keene, a British woman's rights activist, having a discussion with a biological male, married a woman, fathered three children, then decided to become a female. And he's saying, trying to say, well, as a mother, and Billy J. Keene said, "A mother, how dare you? You're not a mother. You never birthed children. You're not a mother." But, of course, if they say they're a female, then they say they could also be a mother. God help us. To that extent, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.